I had the opportunity to be at the front door a little bit this morning as people were coming in, and I saw as people were coming in, there were water driplets all over each person, and some of us didn't appreciate that, but what we're going to hear today is that those water driplets are more than just appreciated. They are necessary for life, and our church has had the unique opportunity to be a part of drilling some wells, and they're going to come and share that in just a moment. So Jim and the team, if you guys want to make your way up here. As a church, we have what we call some core values, and you can find them on the back of your bulletin or on our website. And when we do ministry as a church, we want to make sure that what we are doing is tying in with something that we believe is one of our core values as a church. So this morning, as they're sharing, it really ties in so well with a couple of our core values, one being just love through service. Like, we are called to be a people, as followers of Christ, we're called to be a people that love others through the service that we offer, and we do that through using the spiritual gifts that God gives us. Now, nowhere in Scripture, just to be fair, nowhere in Scripture does it say that I am aware of well driller is a spiritual gift. However, each person that is up here and shares today became a part of a team that they did use the gifts that God had given them in some way, shape, or form over the course of the week in order to be part of drilling these two wells and providing this much-needed resource. So we are so thankful that they're able to share with us this morning. Jim, let me pray for you guys, and then we're going to turn it over to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you guys so much for this day, Lord God. We thank you for each one that is up here, that was a part of this team to El Salvador and a part of the excitement of being able to drill these wells and to provide this much-needed resource for these communities, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will continue to work in the lives of each person that's up here, continue to stir in their lives, continue to draw them closer to you, continue to use them for your kingdom's glory and purposes. Heavenly Father, may we all be challenged by the story that we hear this morning. Stir in all of our lives as to how we can use the gifts that we have been given to serve others in this world. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Good morning. I'll just preface this presentation with the fact that one of my team members here had offered to clean up my presentation a little bit with notes and put a preface and a conclusion to it, and I was handed the paperwork about 10 minutes before the service here, so you'll have to bear with me. And you may have seen people wearing shirts like this around here, and the back of this shirt says, "Some people travel the world to see the difference. Others travel to make a difference." We traveled to make a difference in El Salvador. Good morning. Before I get too far into the logistics of the trip we went on, I just wanted to give you something that really set the stage for me. When we first arrived in El Salvador and made our way to Corral Viejo, the community gathered everyone together to meet us that morning. They brought out snacks, they wanted to learn our names, and we wanted to learn theirs. At one point, a gentleman stood up to speak. He shared, and I would add that the people with Agua Viva were interpreting. We are not fluid and fluent in Spanish, but everything was done through the interpreters. At one point, a gentleman stood up to speak. He shared that he had come from another part of El Salvador, a region marked by constant fighting and unrest. He had left everything to find something better. And when he arrived in this small village on the outskirts of Zacatecoluca, he said it felt like he had arrived at the land of milk and honey. Now, as you will learn a little bit more, our idea of the land of milk and honey may be slightly different than his land of milk and honey. Now remember, what we were there to do, we were there to drill for clean water that this community had never had. And yet, even before we turned a single bit of soil, even before we struck a drop of water, the place we were standing on was already somebody's milk and honey, the promised land. That moment has stayed with me, and I hope it stays with you. We traveled to El Salvador February 14th through the 21st. We got a direct flight from Washington, D.C. into San Salvador, where we were greeted by the Agua Viva staff. And Agua Viva means living water. Their motto is, a cup of water in Jesus' name. They give you water, and then they give you the living water. Our two teams totaled 15 volunteers. We were on a mission to serve communities on the outskirts of Zacatecoluca, La Tejeda, and Corral Viejo. I'll be honest with you, this particular week tested us severely. We ran into a host of unexpected mechanical problems, and the geology we're drilling through was some of the most difficult I've ever encountered. The equipment is well-worn and aging, and the soil? It was a combination of volcanic rock. There are 13 volcanoes in El Salvador, and that rock shatters like glass. And then it was layered with sand. So we were constantly changing between mud drilling and hammer drilling. Did you ever try and dig a hole in the sand at the beach? You can get some kind of an idea what it's like trying to drill through sand. And we had problems because we had to somehow fortify the walls of the hole. And we would use a mixture of bentonite, which was something that would almost be like a quasi-concrete that we would pump into the hole, and it would layer this sand into a hole. Both teams worked hard, and on our last day of work, both teams struck water. Since that week, pump houses with storage tanks have been installed, submersible pumps and electric supplies are complete. Both villages had to run electric to these particular sites. We've been in many villages over the years where they had no electricity at all. They were completely off the grid, so it required us to put in some kind of solar-powered system with deep-cycle marine batteries. Since they have the pump houses up and everything's working, they have manifolds on the side of the buildings to allow multiple people to access the water. We no longer put hand pumps in. We've been putting electric submersibles in for quite a few years. The villagers, I've seen videos of the women and children with digging irons, picks, and shovels and wheelbarrows, digging trenches to various points in the community to put access points for water closer to their homes. El Salvador is a country the size of Connecticut with a population of about 7 million people. It's generally considered a third world country. Every time we return and visit communities with previously installed wells, it's genuinely encouraging to see how our efforts over the years have radically changed the life of their communities. Families stay healthier and more productive. Children can go to school because they're no longer spending entire days carrying the water for their families. Infant deaths plummet. Kidney disease drops, and all of this happens because many of you said yes. You partnered with us to make this trip a reality. At the well dedication, the gospel was shared with each community, and Spanish Bibles were presented to every family. And a side note is many of the parents are illiterate, but the children have been going to school, and so they're learning how to read, and they can read for their moms and dads. Gifts were shared with the dads, moms, and children. And in over 20 years since my wife and I started this ministry, 66 communities have been served. And we know from experience these communities will likely double in population between 7 and 10 years because this community has water, it has life. Instead of walking 2 miles for water, dipping water out of a lagoon or a dirty river, they can move to a community where they can have safe water. It should also be noted that these wells, many of you have wells, we're somewhat familiar with them. All you know is that when you open the tap, that the water flows out of the tap. But just know that most of these wells will last hundreds of years. So if you look at the fact that we may be serving 4,000 people with these, or 5,000 people with these two wells. You start compounding that over 5, 6, 7, 8 generations, and you realize the impact going forward that we're going to be making on their lives. Now, we as a team have not had a pre-meeting for this presentation, so I'm going to give you instructions that just share your experiences, your, you know, how it impacted your life, and what you care to share. And I'll just say something about Spencer and Anna. There's an old lady down there that just adopted them as her grandchildren, and she told them she wants babies real fast.
She did, and it was really fun to hear that translated through an Agua Viva member, so that was fun. Hi, everyone. My name's Annie. I'd just like to say, first of all, this past trip was special because I got to take my little brother Gavin with me. He couldn't be here today, but he was really grateful and had a good time getting to know the Fairland family, and it was just special to take a sibling with me, which was really cool. I was part of the team that was at Corral Viejo, and I worked with the drilling crew. And most of our days were spent under the hot sun, where we shoveled, oiled pipes, and got pretty dirty. It was loud and hot and exhausting, whether I was working hard, or you might see in the presentation that I was hardly working, because Dale only took pictures of me sleeping on the trip, so I was working, but you might not see that. But the point is, we were exhausted from the heat, and when there were quiet moments, when the drill wasn't running, that's when we got to just get to know the community, get to talk to them, get to try to talk to them. And that was the biggest challenge, was the language barrier. Communication was a puzzle, and sometimes there were even words that the Agua Viva members needed help with, even though they knew fluent English. So it was a struggle to talk to them, and we had to get creative to translate. So we used Google Translate and our hand motions and facial expressions and laughter, and that turned out to be the challenge that I needed to just, like, deeply connect with people, even though I couldn't talk to them or directly have a straight conversation with them. I got to just see their gratitude for us being there and everything that went into the trip. They were so grateful to see us, and seeing their smiling faces, like, how can you not smile that whole week? It was really encouraging. One of my favorite moments was on the fourth day, when the heat was intense and I didn't drink enough water, and I ended up with a headache and I felt depleted. So I went to sit in the van, and it was really hot in the van. So then I went and laid my head down on the table where we ate our lunches, and the woman that had prepared us the lunches while we were there, she let me lay down in her hammock, so I was napping again. But that time was different because they could tell I was, like, a little uncomfortable. So the woman there, she got some Vicks VapoRub. She was rubbing my head. And our abuela, Daisy's, our grandmother, she took off my dirty boots. She rubbed my feet. She made sure the chickens would stop, like, clucking near me. And she made sure that I got the rest I needed to fix my headache. And I woke up, and she was just rocking me, and she was praying. And she was looking up, and I couldn't understand her. Excuse me. So I pulled out my phone. And while I was there, like, so exhausted, it just meant a lot to have a woman praying over me. I noticed she was praying over me when I saw my phone, the words that she was saying, and just asking God to heal me, and how grateful she was for us to be there. And her exact words translated to that we were well-hearted people that were full of kindness, that just really wanted to be there and be with them, which has meant a lot. Anyways. Those two women just meant a lot to me, and I'm so blessed to have these memories that I'll keep with me. This trip gave me a new perspective on what's going on around the world and in different cultures, and how vital it is to these communities to have something as simple as clean water, and how little my problems can be in comparison. Lastly, I just want to thank everyone at Fairland and to every person who supported us through their funding and through their prayer. It was such a gift to serve alongside my husband, and so many of you pray and encourage us to do that. So I just want to thank all of you guys for that.
I didn't want to go second. I wanted to fill in gaps like Josh is going to do, but you guys hear me talk enough. But I'll just tell you some my experience and how cool it was for me. I'll tell you, this was my first time out of the country, which was pretty crazy for me. Like I've been in-state mission trips. I used to work with a company called Reach, so we would go around to like East Coast locations and do things in-state. This is my first time even going out of the country, seeing something else, getting a different experience. It was pretty unique. And I'll tell you, it's pretty crazy to go to one of these countries. Like, you build it up in your mind, what it could be like, what it could feel like, and then you get there, and it's just, like, it all leaves you, and you're just there, right? And El Salvador was so unique to me, because you'd be driving, and you'd see all this infrastructure, you'd be on this nice main road, and then you'd turn off one road, you'd get, like, a quarter mile down this dirt road, and then you'd be at a community that doesn't have, like, consistent access to clean water. And it's just so unlike anything that we experience here in the States, right? So just the whole setup, the whole week, it was so unique for me, so different from anything else that I had experienced. Annie brought up Daisy's, and this is one woman that I really want to just lean into for a second. She was 79 years old. And from the moment we got there, just so full of joy and life. Like, from the moment we got there, she just started talking to us. I don't think she had a concept that, like, my 150-day Duolingo streak was not going to carry much water in these conversations. Like, she just started going. So Google Translate became our best friend throughout the week. We got to have a lot of really cool conversations with her, like, just times where we would stand there and try our best. She couldn't read, so we couldn't just show her what Google was saying. We had to very brokenly explain what we were trying to say. So it made for some unique conversations and just some really cool time. All of that is to say, the community that we were in was, like, my biggest takeaway from the whole thing, including Daisy's and the whole week. Annie kind of gave you her side of the story. I'll tell you, from my perspective, the one day she comes up, she's got a little bit of a headache, and she's like, I'm going to go lay down in the van. I say, okay, go do it. So she's laying down in the van. She comes back. She says it's too hot. I say, well, you know, go over, lay down in this one other part. So she goes over. She does that. I don't see her for a minute. We're back to working or doing whatever we were doing. And then the guy who leads these trips, his name is Carlos, he comes pulling up in his truck. And, like, one of the first questions out of his mouth is, like, I heard somebody got sick. Is everybody okay? And I'm like, oh, yeah, Annie had a little bit of a headache. I should actually probably go check on her. So I come around, yeah, I come around this corner where Annie went off to, and sure enough, she's laying in this hammock, and she's got 7 or 8 people surrounding the hammock. Like, it is an all-out, none of them speak English, all of them speak Spanish, but all of them are desperately trying to find out how to help her out. And, like, just seeing the way that we were there and the community immediately, like, stepped up to help us, and they stepped up to just be there and be with us. And after all of that, like, after Annie was finally like, I'm okay, I'm all right, for them to still be there and giving her the Vapo rub and to have Daisy's there and, like, rocking her hammock, I mean, just the love that we experienced despite the language barrier was so real. It was so palpable. Like, you could feel it the entire time we were there. I have 2 more notes. Sorry, I like he said, we did not have a planning meeting. I'm just kind of going with what I'm thinking here. I will say, so outside of the week itself, just like coming home has actually been like one of the hardest parts of the whole experience. You know, you go from somewhere where every day you're so ingrained in it, you get to help people. It feels like you're just such a part of what's going on and you have this awesome opportunity to serve. So coming home, it's made for like this almost like vacuum of that service, of that place that I got to give it so freely for an entire week. That is to say, if you ever get the opportunity to do one of these things, you have to take it. In any format, whatever it looks like, you have to take it. You have to go to another country to experience something like that. But I also say that with a stipulation, because Josh and I know this pretty well, there's a lot of help that can be had in our community right here too. So I just want to say, like, end my whole spiel here with community focus, like, get out, find places to serve, make it a part of your day-to-day routine. Find a way to just be the hands and feet of Jesus. Like, if we would have never gone to El Salvador, there still would have been plenty of opportunities here at home to get that service. But if you ever get the opportunity to go and do something like this, you got to take it. All right, end of my spiel.
That was quick. Yeah. That was pretty quick, Spencer. For a while, I've been thinking about what I wanted to talk about today, and actually, a couple weeks ago, Dustin was preaching and talked about perspective. And what stuck with me, one of the big things Jim had already mentioned, was here we were in this country, El Salvador, which is considered a third world country. They don't have water. There's they're all dirt roads, a lot of them. A lot of people are living in mud brick homes. And here this man, when we were talking to the villagers, said, "I came here because it's a land of milk and honey." And we, from our American perspective, think, how can this be? But they enjoy life. They love, and they love God. So the thing that I change now is the people that we work with in Agua Viva are all strong Christians also, which makes a big impression when you're working around them. And we had a rough week. Things went bad. You saw the fire. That wasn't at our site. We didn't give her matches because everything else was going wrong. But these guys are so unflappable. They know what they're doing, and they're serving God. And things go wrong, it doesn't matter. Ernesto, who was our main drill guy, was one time a practicing lawyer in El Salvador. And he was a defense attorney. And Ernesto was used to representing people, some of the drug people that were in there and all that stuff. And one day he told us, he said, "I just got sick of lying." No offense, Keith, but... he just said, I was tired of that. I was tired of the system. And he got a chance, an opportunity to take a week off, and he was working with Carlos, who was running, it was called Living Waters at that time. And it just melted his heart to be able to serve God in that way and bring fresh water to the people of El Salvador. Every one of those guys, it's not a job. It's a mission of the heart that they want to bring water to their neighbors. And we got to be a part of that. And to see the love that the people poured out for us, for Annie, it was amazing. And I teased her a lot about that, but it was just great. And to get to travel with such a great group of people and to work every day with them, it's something that you can't put a monetary figure on. It just builds your heart, and you want to do it. It builds a life of service. And if you ever have the opportunity to serve, serve, because it brings more joy to you than you'll ever know.
It was very humbling and rewarding to help get water, such something so life-saving that we take for granted, just fresh, clean water. But even more rewarding that we were able to present them with a gospel and giving them eternal living water. So it was just a great opportunity. And a not so humbling note, I was the only one in our team who ran the drill rig successfully with nothing going wrong. So
I'm Dawn Hawkins. A lot of you may know me. I will say just to start that I did not need a sweater down there, okay? It was 95 degrees every day, and you didn't see rain or dreariness. I mean, it's a beautiful day out. We need the rain. But you wonder, why does a woman my age go do something like this? Because they're digging wells, you know? Like, what am I going to do down there? Honestly, I did spend the first working day with a shovel in my hand, and I did help to clean out the little trough where the water, when it would run through, and then they'd run it back through. Anyway, but so I did actually do, like, manual labor for a day. But there are some other women here this morning that are not up front with us, but they are also over 40. but they We did something different the rest of the week. In the afternoons, we would meet with the women and the children and the elderly men who couldn't help with the well, but we would do classes. So we had like a hygiene class where we taught them, you know, like, we're giving you clean water. Now we need to teach you how to keep that water clean and what to do with it. And like a lot of them complained, you know, said, yes, our children get sick. We get sick in our tummy. You know, so Agua Viva, you know, they translated and did a lot of everything. We kind of did kind of the back. We did some of our own little skits during the week for the classes that we had, not just the one at the end of the week. Each day we had a little skit. They did a toothbrushing class one day, you know, like how to, you know, keep your teeth healthy, how to stay healthy. But they said about being sick, and we're like, the water we're giving you, we want you to keep it clean so you don't get sick and your children can go off to school. And so a lot of times, some of the villages, now I spent time at both wells because I was helping with classes at both sites. So the one site, I mean, they are just, I guess I connected a little better at that site. Those women totally opened up their homes to us. I mean, I was cutting corn off of the cob with like a small machete. I'm like, I know that if you told this to my husband, he would be like, oh my gosh, do not give her a knife. But it was like we helped them with preparing food. They just opened their homes. We made, they use everything. I mean, like, they use like the corn. When you peel your corn off, they use the leaves for the tamales, and then they cut the corn off and they use the cobs, and they don't waste anything. And it was just, they were so open and willing to just have us come in. And you know, I think by Thursday we were all getting a little discouraged because we were having problems every day. We were not hitting water, and we were having fire, and I kind of saw what was happening at both sites, being at both places. But you know, we talk about water and giving them water, and it was like we persevered because, you know, that God tells us when you persevere, there's something good on the other side, you know. So you persevere for drilling because you know you're going to eventually hit something good on the other side. But also, one drop of water, I kind of related what we were doing to one drop of water. You know what one drop of water does when it hits the pond or it hits a puddle or a lake? It spreads out. You can be that one drop of water. And I felt kind of like that's what we were that week. We were that one drop that now we don't know, you know, like we just know that we planted the seed. So, you know, God will take care of the rest. And so you all can have that opportunity.
I'd say the only problem we had that week was between the two Dales. We had to figure out which one my wife was talking to. She'd say deer, well, Dale would go running, both of us. So it's like, anyway, but all jokes aside, we did have a good week despite everything that went wrong. I really had no plans of going on this trip. But then Jim was still looking for some people, and I decided I would go. I know Jim has a passion for this. He did for years, and I knew that. But it wasn't part of me. But that changed, and I told Jim that week. I was very blessed to go. Saying that, the worst thing I had was going from 30-degree weather to 95. It was like, oh my gosh, what did I get myself into? But we made through it. I figured, wait, you know, just talked to Jim over the years that probably in 2 days we're going to hit water and we have the rest of the week to go and do whatever. Well, that didn't work out. You know, about time we get started, something would break. Then we'd have downtime. And it was frustrating because you just didn't go and pick up a part. It took hours just to get a part to get it fixed. And so you get going, and then the next day you go, and the same thing again. For me, that was frustrating. But there's a reason for everything, because when you had breakdowns, you got to spend time with the villagers and or just go for a walk and just do some sightseeing, give you time to think about things and what you have. And I left down there that we are so blessed. We have more than we could ever think of. And down there, they have, it's like honey and milk and honey. That just floored me when the guy said that. I could not believe that. And it's just like, wow. It just makes you open your eyes and see what we really do have. And so, but yeah, if you do have an opportunity, I did tell Jim, you know, I would probably do it again next year. It makes that much of an impact.
Okay, I guess I'll try to fill in the gaps a little bit, but I guess the word that comes to mind to me, especially with this week, is control. We as people all struggle with control. We always want to guide our lives and push our lives in a certain direction. And one thing these breakdowns can teach you, and one of these, you know, the constant, okay, stop and wait, okay, let's go, okay, let's wait, is patience and to let God take the wheel and let Him guide you and to trust that He will get you to the end. And we didn't get these wells completely capped by the end of the week. And I know that was extremely hard for myself. I know it was extremely hard for some other people here to walk away and know that it's going to be complete. And I think within a week, if not a week and a half, both wells were completely functioning and producing over 100 gallons a minute. So that is an abundant, 20 is the goal they were shooting for, 20 gallons a minute in the water. So they hit plenty of water to serve the community there, and if they can figure out a way to pipe it, many communities will have water for a very, very long time. So that was I think one of the biggest takeaways for me for this week. I'm grateful for every one of you here that have prayed for us, that have supported us financially, have encouraged us, and just been interested in finding out more about what we experienced and the trip itself. Thank Jim for helping us sponsor this trip and just opening our eyes to what is possible. So thank you, and look forward to you coming along.
Okay, Pastor, you've given me an allotted time. Do I have a couple more minutes? Okay. I didn't want you to come up and pull us all off the stage. There are a couple team members here. Would you care to stand up? Those of you that are not up front here, would you just stand up and let everybody see your face? And okay. And if right now that we're standing, I want to also, and you can have a seat now, but I wanted to also make note of the fact that the Carl Wenger, the Wenger Foundation, sponsored the one well in memory of Carl Wenger. There were four of the Wenger family along that helped to put it in. The Albert family, they're here as well, and I want to thank them. And also a gentleman by the name of Sam Snader from, had sponsored a well as well. In closing, you may never be in a position to travel on a long-distance mission trip, and that's okay. What matters most is that you use what God has blessed you with. It's been suggested before. We were so thankful to know that many of you here in Fairland were praying for us throughout that week, and you've heard this morning, prayer carried us through every problem we faced. God has also blessed many of us with the financial ability to support missions. Each well costs $15,000 to drill. Each volunteer had to raise or contribute $2,300 to cover their trip expenses. Some had to raise their own support to go along as well. These wells don't just provide water. They represent years of partnership, prayer, and people like you saying yes. But to keep saying yes to the next 66 communities, we need to address something critical. The equipment that made all of this possible is worn out. It needs to be replaced. Some of the equipment is 15 or 20 years old. I'm sort of the kind of guy that grabs a bull by the horns, and I'm spearheading a $400,000 nationwide fundraising project. I've identified many of the major supporters of Agua Viva, and so we're trying to, on the side of funding the wells, we're trying to raise $400,000 to buy a new well drilling unit made out of Thailand, built to third world specs, and also a 900 cubic foot a minute compressor. Agua Viva has been doing this for over 20 years. They love the Lord. They believe this is what God created them to do. And they give 100% impact with every dollar donated. One of the things that makes it easy for me generally to raise money is I can look a potential donor square in the eye and say, I can absolutely assure you the money is being used well and being spent 100% to honor and glorify your donation. Every community has a great need, and this is an organization that makes every dollar count. I didn't ask any of these people to make a plug for next year, but I've already reserved a week for two teams in the middle of February next year. February is the most temperate month, and it's only 95 degrees. So that's why we go either in November or February, because it's the best time of the year. It never rains in February. So I want to encourage you to, if you're interested, talk to me. I'm going to be, I'm around here, but I was going to say I'll be out in the lobby afterwards. But I normally cap my list of two teams of seven people, and I don't usually have trouble filling the roster. But I'd be excited if you'd give yourself the opportunity of this experience. You'll come back a changed person. I can almost guarantee you'll walk away with a brand new appreciation for clean water. Before Jesus ascended, he gave his followers a final charge. He said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." He didn't say if you feel comfortable. He didn't say when it's convenient. He said, "Go." We went, and because we went, because you prayed and gave and said yes, a man's promised land now has clean water. Two communities in El Salvador will never be the same, and that is worth going for. I want to leave you with something practical, something small but meaningful that you can do. Next time you turn on your faucet, think about this. You didn't walk a mile to carry water from an unsafe river or a lagoon. You just turned a handle. Our water is clean. It's cheap, and it's right there. So here's a suggestion. Get a jar, and every time you take a drink of water, put a dime or a quarter in that jar. Then when it fills up, donate it to our El Salvador Water Project here at Fairland. We have a special fund that we fund these wells out of. It's painless. It's impactful. And it's a good habit to get into, a daily reminder of how blessed we are. And if you habitually run your faucet a minute or so till you get hot water, make it a point to have a pitcher beside that faucet and catch that water and use that water for something else. I'm not tied into local politics here, but I know that Lebanon County has challenges with fresh, safe water. And as this county grows, you're going to hear more and more about the lack or the need for fresh, safe water. We may come to a day when we wish we hadn't been so careless with what we have, but for the grace of God, you or I could have been born in one of those communities. Thank you. God bless you, and I appreciate the honor of continuing to serve the people of El Salvador.